Hello, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is wonderful.
No glasses. I'm going no glasses today.
Ooh, I'm going glasses.
I'm going no glasses. You're going glasses. You're going bespectacled. I'm raw dogging it. My brain was going, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that.
Here we are.
But here we are. It came out anyway. It's wonderful. Should we talk about things we like, things that we're into? I'll tell you what I'm like and what I'm into is unconsciousness, sleep, rest.
Is this your small wonder?
Yes, my small wonder is...
I feel like we definitely use it as a small wonder.
Of course it is, but...
Here we go again.
It's not even a small wonder, nor is it a wonder that I would sort of discuss at length on the show. It's just great when you can rest, when you don't have to be awake and doing stuff, and you can instead be unwake.
Yeah.
That's a new way of referring to it that I've come up with. It's been a pretty rough ride around these parts,
yeah.
I would say, for a little bit now.
Yeah, we just, I mean, our listeners of the podcast will know that we almost never have any kind of backup plan for anything we do.
Right.
So we have no fail-safe. If something doesn't go exactly as it's supposed to, it throws our entire, like, pendulum off its axis.
Yeah, pendulums have axes. You looked at me like, did I say something wrong? But I think you're totally in the clear there. Yeah, so sorry this episode's late. But we're doing our darndest.
Yeah.
I can say that much. And yeah. I can also say, we should do real small wonders.
We should.
Do you got one just off the top of the head?
Oh, you know, this is a tricky recommendation.
Uh-oh. Do you even want to make it?
I know. That's what I'm trying to decide. I'm watching the Netflix show Inventing Anna.
Okay.
And it is a Shonda Rhimes joint.
Okay.
And I think more than the story itself, I really appreciate the way Shonda puts a story together.
Yeah.
Because we are looking at this con artist from this journalistic angle of, like, the journalist is hunting down the story, a la, like, All the President's Men.
Yeah.
And I love a good journalist story.
You do. Good luck. Is another one.
That's one. What is the other
Spotlight.
One I'm thinking of? Spotlight. Yes, that is the one.
I know all of them because I am a journalist.
I just finished watching that show and I liked it.
Okay, good. That's about as tepid a seal of approval you can give them, but that's great. I'm all about this game Elden Ring. It's the latest game from my favorite sort of currently active game developer.
Is this the one that takes 100% of your attention when you play it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, most games do require a certain amount of attention be paid to them, but
sometimes I can talk to you and you will look up from a game. This is not that game.
No, I don't play. I mean, I play this on my computer. I don't usually play this in your presence.
Oh, well, yeah. You're playing something else in my presence lately, too.
Oh, yeah. No, it's just so big. I keep having conversations with people, and by people, I mean Russ and Chris and Justin on the besties about, like, I'm having a hard time not calling it the best game I've ever played, and it's hard to sort of put that recency bias aside, but it's like I am perpetually excited by it.
Can you give me a comparison, like a frame of reference that I would know?
Do you know Skyrim?
I mean, I know Skyrim from you playing it.
Yeah, like huge okay. open world, but also incredibly difficult and like requiring level of like practice and banging your head against it to like make progress in a way that is like so satisfying. It's phenomenal. So good. Not everybody's cup of tea, but I'm very glad to have it. I go first. Listen, we're coming in hot and heavy with this week. We have like exactly one spare hour. And so we are going to try and do this episode. So my prep on this one is almost non-existent. So I'm gonna speak from the heart.
That's good.
We
should be doing that.
I went to my first Renaissance fair this past weekend.
Oh, here we go.
I went to, what's it called? The one here in, outside of Austin.
Oh, it's Robin Hood related.
The Sherwood Forest Renaissance Fair, yes. It's a big deal. They've been doing it for a long time. It's like 50 minutes outside of Austin. So it's not like really in it, but it's huge. It's a huge sort of thing. And I took Henry because it seemed like the kind of thing he would be into, and he was pretty into it. And we had a really nice time just walking around all the different sort of shops from the different shopkeeps and their various trades.
Griffin told me about his elaborate decision-making process around whether or not he would say good day back to people.
Yes, so the first, I rolled up there, and you didn't have to dress in the garb, which is good.
I don't think you ever have to.
I mean, I think there are some where the role-playing is sort of more enforced than other places, but this is a very, like, visitor-friendly thing, the Sherwood Forest Fair. And yeah, because Henry was wearing like a Space Jam t-shirt, so we weren't even really trying.
Yeah.
But he had a lot of fun just sort of like walking around at the different like shops. So there were like, here's a person who makes toys out of wood, and here is like an old timey candy shop. And
yeah,
we watched like a blacksmith do some stuff, and we saw some big ass horses that Henry was quite afraid of, but they did cool tricks and stuff like that. And he was really into it, but there's something about sort of this, having a spot where it's just sort of agreed upon anachronisms that you are volunteering yourself into, right? This idea of like, I'm going to cross the threshold of this place and be in another time. And that is inherently very cool. I don't know why it took me this long to get in there and do this.
Yeah, I was surprised when you told me you'd never been to one.
There are lots of different types of like nerd culture.
Uh-huh.
And this, what it represents is like not mine. And that's not me.
Yeah.
I hope I am not protesting too much.
I think it's interesting because you are somebody that role plays quite often. Just through the nature of your job.
Yes, but there's a difference, I think, between doing that in telling a story and doing that in, like, inhabiting, right?
Yeah.
Inhabiting is the word I think exactly. I would use. Because, like, I've never cosplayed before, really. And so that, I was worried that I would feel like an outsider. So when I showed up at the very first, like, yeah. shop and someone was like, good day, I was like, hello, because I didn't feel like I would be able to say a good day, hail and well met, because I didn't want that, like, I don't know what comes off as, here I am with my son in his Space Jam t-shirt, if I come back and I'm like, fare thee well, are they going to think I'm like making fun of them or something?
Okay.
But I also realized that is folly, because it's like, they could not have more of a home court advantage in this place.
Yeah.
I
will say, as somebody who went to Colonial Williamsburg as a young person,
yeah,
and really enjoyed it, I kind of get the immersive quality of it. Like there's something about it. It's like when you go to a good theme park and they really like set up the area as like a particular place.
Yeah.
Like there is something that I like about really getting to like be in the space, and the hope, I guess, is that you are transported in a way.
Yes.
So I get it.
It was really fantastic. I have very strong feelings about like cons and conventions.
Yeah, I bet.
Because I've been to a fuck ton of them.
Yeah.
Right. And there is a kind of empowerment that comes like part and parcel with a specialized sort of convention, where people who don't usually have the opportunity to be enthusiastic about a very specific thing in their real life now feel like they are the ones with, like, the ones in charge, the ones with the ones with clout, the ones whose like interests and skill sets will be acknowledged in a way that they won't outside of this pocket universe that they create for themselves, right? I've seen that break bad in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I've seen it break bad in ways where that turns somebody into like a real dickhead or create like a really toxic environment.
Yeah.
But at the Renaissance Fair, it feels like everybody's just like, I don't have another opportunity to leathersmith for you.
Yeah.
Like, I am a fletcher. This is all this is it. This is the place I come to fletch. And there is something really kind, there is something really great about that. It just, I don't know. Maybe that's not true for every Renaissance Fair. And, you know, everybody's different in the way that they react to that level of, you know, empowerment.
That is a really good point. It's difficult to go somewhere and see a craftsman crafting just in your daily life.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no, for sure. It's,
yeah.
And I especially for a kid, right? Like,
yeah.
I am pretty far removed from the concept of like, how did this thing get to me? Like, yeah. how did the you know, on a sort of wild example, like, how did my MacBook get made? But to like simplify it, like the glassware we use to drink out of, like, where'd that come from? I don't know. But we can go see a glassblower at the Renaissance Fair, and it's very like one-to-one. And I think there's something very cool about that. Especially for kids. Plus, you know, sword fighting. Like, there was a little part of the Ren Fair where people were LARPing, and there was like a boundary for it, where it was like, this is where you come to fight. Don't fight in the non-fighting areas. So we could just kind of like stand at the perimeter and be like, they're fighting. And that's cool. I don't have a whole lot prepared sort of about Renaissance fairs. They are sort of a creation of the mid-20th century, like post-World War II. People got into like medieval music, like early folk music, and sort of obviously that is a early predecessor to like the folk revolution that came about in like the 60s and what have you. But there were just a few people who were like, hey, I like this. And so there came sort of weird fancy parties. There was in 1957, there was a folk musician named John Langstaff who held what was called the Christmas Mask of Traditional Revels in New York City, which was essentially like a medieval folk festival. And then he threw another one in Washington, D.C. the following year. And I feel like sort of parties kind of branched out of that grew bigger and bigger and bigger until we got sort of the traditional Ren Fair that a lot of people saw that happening in these major sort of cities and said, hey, that's what I want to do. That's the thing that's been missing from my life is medieval culture. And so let's all go out into the forest and just like, you know, joust. And I think that that's great that they have found a place to do that, a safe place to do that.
Yeah, well, what you told me, which I didn't realize, is that it is not just Renaissance cosplay that you will see at a Renaissance fair, which I did not realize.
The first Renaissance fair was held in 1963 by an LA school teacher named Phyllis Patterson, who held it in her backyard as a class activity in the Hollywood Hills.
So I like that.
Yeah, I like that a lot. She called it the Renaissance Pleasure Fair, which was actually a fundraiser for a radio station. And like, it just kind of like Wayne stock grew out of that too. So yeah, Ren Fairs. I'm sure that like, there are lots of people listening to this going like, yeah, man, duh. Like, yeah, man, Ren Fairs, they're dope. Go eat a big turkey leg. I did not eat a big turkey leg.
You did not.
Because I'm worried about my sensitive tummy. I did eat a sausage on a stick.
And I will say that Henry was very pleased with the quality of the French fry that he received.
He ate a traditional medieval French fry that he enjoyed. Yeah, we ate lunch. I ate my sausage on a stick, and he ate like a corn muffin and some French fries. A very healthy lunch while we watched a man in stocks have tomatoes thrown at him. You can't beat that.
No.
You genuinely can't.
That's perfect.
He got worried. He was like, I liked when the man who was having the tomatoes thrown at him made fun of the people, but I didn't like when he got hit with the tomatoes because I bet it hurt. And I was like, they were hollowed out. Although there was like an 8-year-old kid who must be like on like the star player of his like minor league team because he lit this fucking fella up. Like right in his face over and over again.
Ooh.
It was brutal.
I can see at a point where the crowd kind of turns and is like, wait.
After the first one, the dude in stocks was like, okay, good throw. And then he started to like flinch for the first time as he got buffeted. Anyway, Ren Fairs, get there. Do them. If you live in Austin, the Sherwood Forest one, I think, runs every Saturday through April. And it's a good time. Then can I steal you away?
Yes.
Cool. Got a couple Glumbo Brams here, and this first one is for Ben, and it is from Sarah, who says, Ben, Gosh darn it, you're my wonderful thing every day. You're the best cat dad, friend, partner, and gamer boy a girl could ask for. One day when science finally gets its act together and makes Pokemon real, I'll get us a Gengar to show my appreciation for you. But until then, this will have to do. Love your butt. XO, Sarah. That's a big, scary ghost.
Okay, I was going to ask if you could tell me what a Gengar was.
Gengar is like one of the scarier ghost-type Pokemon. He doesn't really, I think he's even,
not cute or cuddly in any
not
way?
At all. He is also part poison type, I think, maybe, in the most recent generations, I want to say. That might be BS. But it does seem to me like this is a real spooky situation that they've got going on over there. And I love it. You know, their love seems very pure and good, but you don't want a big, it's a big ghost, like a big ghost. Anyway, you want to do the next one?
Yes. This message is for Rosie and Casey. It is from Lee to Rosie and Casey of Wash, D.C. A silly poem from your good friend Lee. I just wanted to say meeting y'all was a joy, bonding over our love of the family McElroy. 2 years later, with your friendship, I'm blessed. The best silver lining from the ongoing unpleasantness. But all that's to say, I think y'all are rad, and I can't wait to see all the adventures we'll have.
Delightful. I mean, you are the poem sort of expert.
Uh-huh.
How's that? Because I felt like it had great meter.
I like family McElroy. That's inventive right there.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. You put a twist and a spin on mm-hmm. it. And that's what art is all about, isn't it?
And rhyming blessed with unpleasantness.
That's next level shit.
Yeah.
That's some Shel Silver. I have to learn some other poet names.
How do you not know poet
I'm sorry.
Names?
Most game shows quiz contestants about topics they don't even care about.
But for 100 episodes, the Go Fact Yourself podcast has asked celebrity guests trivia about topics they choose for themselves.
And introduced them to some of their personal heroes along the way.
Oh my gosh.
Shut up.
Oh, I feel like I'm going to cry.
Oh, my stars. It's so, so exciting to meet you.
Join me, J. Keith Van Stratton.
And me, Helen Hong, along with special guests DJ Jazzy Jeff and Faith Saley, plus some amazing surprise experts on the 100th episode of Go Fact Yourself.
And join us twice a month, every month, for new episodes of Go Fact Yourself here on Maximum Fun.
It's the dramatic conclusion of Minority Corner with your host, James Arthur M. Yes, that's right. After 7 years,
this will be the end.
Will James and his guest co-host solve racism, homophobia, and sexism? Will James end his longtime feud with Jennifer Hudson? Will someone get married, turn out to be an evil twin? Will James and his guest co-host talk about news, pop culture, history, and all things nerdy? Probably. Yeah, that's probably the one that will definitely happen. Find out on the dramatic conclusion of Minority Corner right here on Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcasts. Minority Corner, because together, we're the majority.
What do you have prepared for me, Doth? My lady.
So much like you, my topic was put together mere minutes ago.
Good.
So we're going to kind of take a journey together.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
I am basing a lot of my content, one might say all of my content, off of a Fast Company article that came out in 2019 called The Secret History of Cletus, Fox Sports' Bizarre Football Robot.
This football robot means so much to me.
I have a little video. This is not like...
Just some of Cletus's greatest hits.
Yeah, just in case you weren't familiar, this actually isn't like his greatest hits or anything. I just, in case you weren't familiar...
About who Cletus the football robot is?
Yeah. He kind of, he's a robot, like
big,
animated.
Big, bulky robot, heavily armored, I would say.
Who, like in between plays, will kind of dance and hop
well, he's
on the
stretching,
side of the
isn't he? He's like getting limber and like kicking his legs, getting them ready for the sports that the other people are about to do.
Yeah, Cletus the football robot, it's an incredible story. and so I wanted to talk a little bit about that. Because, you know, I mean, here at Wonderful Enterprises, we love a good mascot.
We love sports, too. All of them equally.
Oh, my gosh. So speaking of, so the Cletus, the football robot, had a Twitter account.
Why? An official one or a goof one?
You know, It had 12,600 followers.
Did it have that blue check? Did Twitter
authenticate?
No, but
it was 2013. It joined in 2011. So I don't know if you could really get the blue check super easy back then. It has not tweeted since 2013.
Oh, okay.
All that to say, I got excited, like, ooh, I bet this is really funny. And it is so football that I don't even know what I'm looking at. Like, it says, here's March 14th, 2013. When hearing hashtag Ed Reed was visiting the hashtag Texans, hashtag Ray Lewis immediately broke into tears.
No idea.
I don't know anything about football, and that is impossible.
That's so deep. I've heard some of those names, maybe.
Another one from that same day, the hashtag Dolphins have been the biggest offseason winner so far. Enjoy that, Fins fans. It won't last long.
Oh, so this one was interesting. Shit.
Yeah, the Twitter account is a little spicy. So I imagine if you know football, this is like, whoa the mascot's saying that?
This Chiron robot.
Okay, so this came about. Fox got the NFL football rights away from CBS in 1994. In 1995, Fox Sports was kind of putting together their brand, like their look, which was very like kind of futuristic. Like if you think about Fox Sports, it's all like metal and gears for some reason. And then in 2005, CBS comes back and signs another NFL deal. And at that point, Fox is like, okay, like we need to make this our own. Like we need to wrestle this back.
So, oh, wasn't it that CBS had like Sunday night football and Fox had like Thursday night football? Like, it's so fucking weird.
Again, I'm not a football expert.
Yeah.
So somebody with influence at Fox was with his son, who was 7 or 8 years old at the time, who had drawn a picture of a hybrid football robot player slash cowboy.
Awesome. Wait, like Dallas Cowboys, the football team, or? Like he had.
I mean,
like
I can show you
horse.
The picture. I don't see the cowboy in this picture.
That is a great. That's a cool drawing for a. that's like some old D&D.
In this
art.
Fast Company article, they have the original sketch.
I also just unintentionally said drawing. Do I say that word like that? Because that's the first time I've ever noticed myself. And maybe it's because I have monitor headphones on.
Drawing?
I said drawing.
Oh.
Do I usually say it like that? Or was that just an.
I don't think
so. Okay. All right.
So, anyways, this drawing that his son did, he kind of thought, okay, let's maybe explore this idea of a character synonymous with the Fox logo that gives us the authority to interact with the viewer.
That gives us the authority to interact with the...
To like engage them.
You don't have to make this make sense. You don't have to make the thing they said make sense, honey. You don't work for Fox Sports.
Thank you. Thank you. And so they just kind of kept going with it. The chief strategy officer at the time had developed branding for Starbucks and thought like, oh, a mascot's a great idea. Like a mascot as a way to kind of do advertising and connect with the audience.
Right.
So they just kind of kept going with it and sketching more formally what this robot would look like. And then the 2D sketches became 3D. And then they hired a studio to handle the motion capture.
Fuck yeah. Who did they use for the mocap?
It said they hired Blur Studios to handle the motion capture for special effects, helmed by co-founder Tim Miller, who has since gone on to become a major director with Deadpool.
Whoa. And I mean, I was asking, did they use like an actual football player for
mocap? Oh, so that's what they said. They used green suited actors to perform all sorts of things the robot might do.
That's good.
Which include pointing, flexing, and taunting.
Yeah, you got to have the real deal in order to get that kind of action accurate.
So they just brought it up on the screen. Like they just made it part of it. They didn't address it. They didn't do any kind of big campaign around it. They were just like, hey,
here's a fucking football robot. Handle
here's
it.
This robot. And then it kind of became more of a thing that they played with. Like they put the robot in costumes. They wrapped him in Christmas lights, had him throw a snowball, programmed him to mime, put him in a hula skirt, always using a motion capture actor to act out the performances.
That's great. They have so much money. Did nobody at that point just go, you guys have a lot of money, don't you, to make the robot do very accurate hula dancing.
Right. They even started having him interacting with branding. So they had like the Burger King king interact with Cletus at a certain point.
Oh, man.
And then the Twitter account that I mentioned. Fox, I didn't realize this. Fox also tried out a NASCAR bot called Speedus.
I need to see Speedus right now.
Yeah, I didn't actually look up Speedus.
I'm going to look up Speedus.
Let's do that in real time.
Show me Speedus. Twitter. Google. Show me Speedus, please. Let's see. I mean, Speedus just seems like a car.
There's a series of NASCAR mascots that I'm looking at right now.
I'm looking at a Vimeo. That's just a bunch of jets. Jets are transforming into NASCAR cars. Which one's Speedus, though? There's Speedus! The robot is driving the car! The robot is driving the car. I mean, Speedus just looks like Cletus, but he's driving an automobile.
When Fox signed the UFC in 2013.
Oh, Beatus?
Yep.
Did I really get it right?
Yep.
Yes!
They said the person who was interviewed, the EVP of marketing, said, in retrospect, we should have left that one on the cutting room floor.
What, Beatus? The beating robot? Yeah, I think that one probably could have.
Apparently, Beatus resembled what they say in the article, quote, B-list manga superhero with fierce red eyes and two big boxing gloves.
Now I gotta look up fucking Beatus. Damn it.
He made multiple appearances on TV, in the studio, and at events, not just as a graphic, but as a live-action mascot, a person wearing a Beatus suit.
Whoa, Beatus looks dangerous. The music is very Beatus. Look at...
Whoa.
Whoa, that's a dangerous robot, Beatus is. Whoa, get him, Beatus! Wow. Cool. Hey, who do you think would win in a fight? Cletus, Beatus, or Speedus?
Who? I mean, what kind of fight? Right? Because if it is...
If it's a racing fight, Speedus is going to take the cake. You're right, honey. I didn't even think about that. Can we think of one more?
Oh, I mean, there is the band Weedus, but that's a real Weedus thing.
Yeah. If Fox had some sort of penile health show, you could just have Meetus. Well, you go ahead and keep talking, but I will not be paying attention because I will be thinking of more Edis robots.
Okay. More recently, Cletus got a kind of a rebrand. He got what they refer to as a Gears of War makeover. He was given bigger shoulders and a Ken doll waistline.
Do you understand that reference?
I don't. Okay. I don't know what that means.
It's a shooter game franchise where the characters are notably unimaginably thick. Like big fucking boys. Big boys.
They decided at that point on his real world size for the first time.
Whoa. Give me that. Give me those stats.
12 to 17 feet.
That's a big boy. That's a big Cletus.
I don't know if Cletus is still around or not.
It sounds like he died 9 years ago because he hasn't tweeted since then.
I haven't watched enough football to really.
No, God, no.
To say for sure.
We watch one sport and it is hockey, which is robotless, tragically. Tragically robot. What Edis could we do for hockey?
Yeah, I mean, there's puck and there's stick and there's ice.
Skeetus. If we were...
Or for skating?
Yeah.
See, this is hard. Here we are making fun of Cletus, but let's all admit here that this is hard to do.
Yeah.
So that's Cletus. This was parodied a lot at the time, just on a variety of like talk shows, because I think this was really the first time. You know how now you always see the banner at the bottom and the little characters from the TV show are like moving around to get your attention?
Yeah.
This was kind of the first time that was really like happening of like, here's this guy inexplicably moving around while you're trying to watch something. And so that was parodied a lot on like various talk shows. But I think it's great.
I think it's good. I think it represents a pure time where people were like, what's going to give us the edge over our competitors? And the answer was a CGI football robot.
Yeah, Cletus. So Cletus, I don't know if Cletus is still around. This would probably be easy to figure out, but who's got the time? but he has worn Beats headphones and done cameos with Ford Trucks.
Good.
So there is a lot of co-branding happening. Beats, I know, wasn't too long ago, so I imagine that he's still around.
Who knows? We the football season, I think, is over for a little while, but we'll keep an eye out for this robot. Is NASCAR happening? Where's Speedus? That's my question. I'm sort of a Speedus head. Thank you all for listening. Thank you to Bowen and Augustus for use for our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. Thanks to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. And thank you to you, my wife.
Oh, thank I love you. I love you too.
You did a great job today.
Thank you. You
and,
did too.
You do a great job every day. And we have merch at McElroy Merch. We're going on tour.
There are still tickets on sale.
There are tickets on sale. If you go to McElroy.family, we did have to move our shows scheduled for this month in D.C. and Detroit and Cincinnati. Very, very sorry about that. I think those are going to be in November now. All the dates, I'm terrible at remembering all of those, but they are all on sale. And you can find them at McElroy.family. And I think that's it. Sorry again for being late and then coming at you with, let's call it pretty informal heat, where we talk about things we like about Ren Faires and then a football robot. I think it speaks to my exhaustion that I can't think of a single other Edis robot. And that breaks my heart. I feel like I've failed you and our listeners by not thinking of another Edis.
I mean, we haven't said fetus.
You're right, we haven't.
That would be complicated. I don't want to think about really what that mascot would be for.
Yeah, because you would think like for feet, but then also fetus is a word. Uh-huh.
Hetus is another one.
Hetus, is, but what
for? Like a Hell's Kitchen, maybe.
Maybe. we're not going to get there.
Yeah, so, that's okay.
But
that's okay.
Sometimes you just got to walk away.
Uh huh.
And that's what we're doing, right?
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.